Hey everyone, this is Jim, producer of the Around the House Show podcast. If you're listening right now, you already know we bring you the best tips, tricks, and expert advice to fix, upgrade, and maintain everything in your home without the headaches or the huge bills. But if you're catching us on the radio or borrowing a friend's phone, you're missing out on new episodes dropping straight to your device every week. So do yourself a favor, hit pause for just a second, grab your phone, and subscribe to Around the House Show on your favorite podcast player. Whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube Music, or wherever you listen. It's completely free, and you'll never miss an episode again. Thanks for supporting the show. Now let's get back to making your house work for you. From coast to coast, it's the nation's number one home improvement radio show and podcast with certified kitchen designer Eric G. and co-host John Dudley, a former contractor and online technology expert delivering real fixes, smart tech, and trusted advice. Remodels, repairs, energy savings, smart homes, DIY. We've got your answers. It's Around the House. Dive in and get inspired.
Welcome to the Around the House Show, your trusted source for everything about your home. Thanks for joining us today. We have got Taylor Kalmus, the doodad on the show. Welcome to Around the House, brother.
Hey, thanks for having me, Eric.
This is going to be a lot of fun, man, because I tell you what, you have changed the world of home improvement with your comedy slash reality. And man, you're doing a public service and making people laugh, which I think is awesome.
I appreciate that. I wasn't trying to change the world. I was just trying to change a couple of light bulbs. But I guess you do it wrong long enough and people start to relate.
Dude, it's amazing. It's amazing. I got to ask you, though. I mean, if people don't know who you are out there, we'll get into that here in a little bit. But how did you get started with all this? Because you don't just fall into this. This is one of those things. I always say, oh, it's an overnight success. That was 10 years, right? That's usually how that works.
Yeah, no, there's no overnight success. I gave like a TED talk one time about my success. And there was all these points where it's like, was this when I made it? When was the corner turned? And there was so many moments that were the culmination of it building into something that you can't define one moment. There's some people that have that, like, I posted my first video and it went viral and then I just became huge. Like, that was not me.
Yeah.
No, that was not me. I my first year I put out 50 videos in 1 year and got to 2,000 followers on Facebook. But it was like a loyal 2,000 followers. And then the next year I went from 2,000 to 100,000. And then the next year after that, 100,000 to 1,000,000. So, but it all started because of I was in Los Angeles trying to be an actor, doing a lot of nonprofit gigs.
And then like us in bands, we had a lot of nonprofit band gigs too. So
yeah, exactly. That t-shirt money doesn't go very far. Especially when the van needs to be repaired all the time, too.
Yeah, there's stories about that.
Yeah, I was in a band back in college, too, so I feel you there a little bit. We were never big enough to have a band or a van, though. We had a minivan. Yeah, we had a minivan.
Here we go.
But anyway, so once my wife got pregnant, I knew that, like, the whole Hollywood thing just might not be a good thing that's going to be able to support the family. So I started the channel just as a way to stay creative while being a dad. And it really was just like, it was my answer to like, hey, if we have to leave Hollywood, we have to leave the biz, at least I'm going to have this thing that is my creative outlet. And I just kind of threw myself into it, had a lot of fun with it. And it was just something I loved to do. And before I knew it, it was starting to take off. And then all of a sudden found a way to make some money from it. And then we said goodbye to Hollywood and we're like, we got our own Hollywood now.
Nice. How did your wife play a part in that? Because I tell you what, spouses can be so supportive. And for some people out there, maybe not as much, but it seems like you guys got a great thing going.
Yeah. I say this in my live show that I would not be able to have done this without Heidi. Like, she supported me from the very beginning. There was a point where I was working, I don't know how many different side jobs while making a video every week, while trying to be a good dad, while still auditioning whenever I could. And she was working full time, nonprofit, making not much. And I kind of broke down. I was like, I can't keep doing all this. I can't, I have to cut something out of my schedule. And this is in that like 3,000 followers day when we were making nothing from it. But she stopped me before I could even finish what I was saying and said, you can't quit, dude, Dad, you have to keep going. She believed in me before I did. So for that, I will always be eternally grateful to her. But yeah, she could have very easily just been like, you bum, go get a job. Support these kids. Because yeah, we were pregnant with our second one at the time too.
Man.
All her eggs were in my basket.
Nice.
Yeah.
And it gives me chills because I hit that spot probably 2 years ago where I was doing the National Radio Show podcast, and I'd got myself into a TV deal where I was doing an hour of TV show 52 weeks a year on top of everything else. And I was just, John remembers that I was just 100% burnt out doing 70 hour weeks, and a break was 4 hours on a Sunday. And it's just, you get that point of like, something's got to give, because I'm not going to live through this just pushing too hard. I'm going to get sick. I'm going to get hurt. I'm going to do something bad, which gets me injured. And so nobody wants that. But it's nice when you figure out and go, wait a minute, here we are. Here's the plan. And off you went. And hats off to you, man, for you guys creating some just amazing content out there that I think what's cool is you guys hit so many different people, from families to home improvement to comedy.
Don't worry, we are just getting started with Dude Dad, but it's time for us to go out to our weekly tip from our friends at Red Wing. Check it out.
Hey guys, this is Eric G from Around the House with a critical safety tip. Handling electricity the right way so those sneaky zaps don't turn your simple project into a shocking disaster. Never overload a single outlet by daisy chaining power strips or extension cords. Spread the load across multiple outlets and circuits, or use a heavy-duty surge protector rated for your needs. In wet areas like bathrooms, kitchens, and outdoors, always plug into GFCI outlets. They constantly monitor the current and trip instantly if they detect a ground fault, cutting power before a dangerous shock can occur. If you're doing any wiring work, kill the power to the main breaker box first. Use a non-contact voltage tester to quickly detect if power is still present, then double check it with a voltage meter to confirm there's zero dangerous voltage. Never assume. Label your breakers clearly and always use insulated tools with rubber grips. When in doubt, call that licensed electrician and follow your local building codes. Safe electrical habits mean smooth, spark-free projects. Wire wisely, folks, and shockproof your DIY adventures. This project safety segment is proudly brought to you by Red Wing. Red Wing is launching their brand new clothing line, built for the way you actually work. Same legendary durability you trust in their boots, now in shirts and hoodies that move with you, breathe when you sweat, and stand up to the real jobs around the house or on the site. Comfortable enough for all-day wear, tough enough to keep you protected. Check out the new collection at redwingshoes.com or your local Red Wing store today. Red Wing, gear that works as hard as you do.
Thanks, guys. Let's get back to our conversation with Taylor, or as everyone knows him, Dude Dad.
Was there something that you did that was like one of your skits or bits or whatever you guys do that you went, wow, that hit harder than I thought it would?
Yeah, I mean, really the all the different types of videos we make really comes back to our pre-recording conversation of ADHD.
Yep.
And I didn't understand what ADHD was when I started the channel. I just got diagnosed a few years ago. But it really comes down to, like, I'm a person that has a lot of different interests and cannot be, if I have the choice, which when you start your own thing, you do, I can't do the same thing week in and week out because I'll go nuts. It doesn't feed me creatively to do the same thing over and over again. So I love comedy. I love to build things. I love sitting in front of the camera and getting a little more vulnerable and like telling stories that way. So having like a lot of different avenues to be creative and has been a lot of fun. And I think that sometimes it potentially hurts us because everyone's feeds are just full of whatever they want. So you just follow people for like, I like that one thing he does, and they follow you for that. And then, so like somebody might follow me because they love the renovations I did in my house. And then they'll come back the next day and I'm in their feed again, but now I'm dressed as my wife screaming at the kids, and they're like, what in the hell is this? But it is what it is. It's a double-edged sword, but it's my sword to fall on. So I don't know.
Seeing your target dad's bit, I think every married guy out there can just about, or in a relationship guy can relate to that. Going, oh, you want to go to Target? Great, I'll wait in the car.
Yeah, that was one of the early days of social media, at least for me. I think that was maybe like 3 years in or something like that. But to find a bit that hadn't been overdone yet, but I had that idea in my pocket for a little while, and then I started kind of collaborating with these other guys, and then there was an opportunity to get everybody all in the same place at once. Some of them had never met.
Don't change that dial. Around the House will be back with more from Dude Dad. Hey America, get ready to rock the locks. This September 25th through the 27th, the biggest rock festival in the Pacific Northwest explodes at Big River Golf Course in Umatilla, Oregon. 3 full days of nonstop live rock with over 25 bands on 2 stages, including headliners Godsmack, Lynyrd Skynyrd, and Simple Plan. Plus Daughtry, Theory of a Dead Man, Tesla, Seven Dust, Candlebox, Dorothy, Jackal, Cowboy Mouth, and many more. Camping, food trucks, beer gardens, riverfront vibes. It's all ages fun for the whole family. And here's something special. You can hang out with Eric G. from Around the House all weekend long. Tickets and camping passes are on sale right now at rockthelocks.org. That's rockthelocks.org. Don't miss it. Pack your bags, grab your friends, and come from anywhere across the country to Rock the Locks. Tickets are selling fast. Eric G. will see you there.
Quick question. How long does it take you to put together a contractor estimate? If it's more than 5 minutes, you're probably losing jobs to whoever gets there first. We built InstaBid after losing a $13,000 job because my quote was too slow. Now I generate a professional PDF estimate, real Home Depot pricing, real labor costs for your zip code in under 5 minutes. Painters, roofers, all the trades. Try it free at instabid.pro. Use code ATH50 for 50% off your first month. That's instabid.pro, code ATH50.
Welcome back to the Around the House show. To find out more, head to our website at aroundthehouseonline.com. Now, let's head back into the conversation with Dude Dad.
But to find a bit that hadn't been overdone yet, but I had that idea in my pocket for a little while, and then I started kind of collaborating with these other guys, and then there was an opportunity to get everybody all in the same place at once. Some of them had never met, and I was like, I got this idea, and they're all like, yeah, it could work. But they all are so great in their own ways, and to put it all together and then have it be relatable, not just to the dads that wait in the car, but also to the wives. It just hit so many demographics. It got like 80 million views on Facebook, but it wasn't with Target. Target had no idea.
Had no idea you're in the parking lot filming. Yeah.
And then 4 years later, it took 4 years, but all of a sudden, now at this point, we all have agents. And so 4 years later, our agents all get a call
from
Target saying, hey, we want to bring back the Husbands of Target and do another video. And so we end up shooting this thing around the Super Bowl with Matt Stafford.
Nice.
We did it. I think we've done like 4 of them now.
That is awesome.
It just is such a like a awesome, like, I don't know, full circle moment for all of us.
You
know,
no kidding.
In that parking lot. But now it's not just us trying to like hide that we're shooting something. Now there's a crew of like 40 people like trying to help us make our dumb skit. And we're all like, hey, guys, we could just do this. Okay. All right. Whatever. That's fine. Yeah. Hold the traffic. Bring in the extras. Okay. So weird. Yeah.
It is so different when you go from shooting your own content to having all the crew there and all the different monitors and craft services and everything else. And it gets pretty wild when you see that happening.
Yeah, it's a different beast too. And I'd done stuff like that before back in my early days, but it's definitely a different experience when you go from it just being you and your buddies.
Yeah.
horsing around to now, like, there's a whole crew of people watching you and the cameras are way bigger and there's a director and all of the things. For me, it's hard to shut up. I'm like, oh, what if it's not your space?
Totally. Yeah. And it's got to be interesting for you too, is to go in and when you're doing that, to all of a sudden, I mean, you've got these crews and it's like you're back into Hollywood again, right? When you were doing stuff with that. So Taylor, it's got to be interesting. It's almost like a full circle thing of coming back to the, wow, now I'm back in Hollywood again, back to the full production stuff.
100%. Like that flight, because I took that flight back to Los Angeles so many times because I'm originally from South Dakota. And I always remember like flying in and seeing the city below you and just immediately getting anxious because the grind is just so intense. And like you have to have a certain level of stupidity to you to chase that dream that you're just like, no, I'm the one of the 0.0001% that's going to make it. So just that intense anxiety I felt every time I flew back in. But then this was like the first time ever flying back in that I did not feel that. I was just like, yeah, I'm supposed to be here. I'm going to do something. It was just a very surreal moment for sure.
That's cool. And so really, all of a sudden, you were on, if I remember, weren't you with the Holderness on that one too? Were you working with them?
Yep. Yeah, they're in that. Yeah. Our Penn is anyway. Yeah.
Funny story with Penn. I went back and watched an HDTV video that I was in this episode. And I was trying to get back then Johnny in this, but he was like, nope, not doing it. And he sent his guy to it. But I went back to watch it because I haven't watched it in 20 years. Went back to watch it. It was so horrible to watch. And Penn was the host.
Oh my gosh. What's the show?
So it's a show called Designer Finals that was on HDTV 20 something years ago. He looks like a kid. And I just started laughing. And my girlfriend's like, what are you laughing about? I'm like, look at this. It's the host back then. And I'm in it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what a weird moment that is.
I just texted him that. I gotta see this.
So it pretty funny. One of those things where you just go, holy smokes. But that's the world of media out there too, though, is that how it's such a small world and a big one at the same time.
Yeah, we shot a show in Knoxville, Tennessee with this production company called River Media.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out they had shot a show with Charlie as the host like years before that.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and he hated it and didn't want anyone to see it. It was this weird drama thing, but it didn't fit his personality at all.
Yeah, I was the design expert and they were grabbing design students out of the Rocky Mountain in Denver, the Colorado School of Design there. I think it was Rocky Mountain School of Design, and they were putting them in the first real world thing. And I was actually the design expert on the show because it was a friend of mine that I'd worked with. And so she's like, you want to come help me? I'm like, sure. And so it was one of those. And Real World MTV had just wrapped. And so they were putting all the real world people that were producing that on that to make a drama filled television show with brand new designers. And so it was pretty funny to watch. And so you've gone from South Dakota to Hollywood, basically, and then back out to Colorado.
Yeah, we had some friends in Colorado and it just seemed like a good place to land. We like the outdoor recreation and it's been awesome. We bought a house sight unseen and spent basically 5 years redoing the entire thing and then adding on to it. It's been a journey, man. When we added on, because when we bought it, we were like, man, this place is a mansion because it was like 2,300 square foot and we're coming from like a 900 square foot bungalow in Van Nuys. So we're like, this is huge. And then we just kept making babies and needed more space for all of them. But at that point, like we loved our neighborhood. We loved our neighbors, tons of kids. So we're like, it's going to be way cheaper if we just add on. And then
it'll just take a couple more days.
All in all, it took 5 months from beginning to end. And I generaled the project. I did the framing and the siding and a bunch of random stuff, but we lived in it the entire time.
Been there, done that.
My kids weren't in it. I think a total of 3 weeks. They were gone out of the 5 months. My kids and my wife were gone about 3 weeks, and I was gone for about 10 days through that whole 5 months. So there was definitely, I mean, it just goes to show, like, me and my wife will make it through anything. Like, there's no chance of divorce. Like,
yeah, you guys made it.
Yeah, we dealt with the sheetrock dust, all of the things.
I think that's what ran my ex-wife off, was the sheetrock dust.
You want to know, listeners, if you really got something, fill your house full of sheetrock dust and see how she responds. If she can handle that, it's real life.
It's gold. Yeah, it's gold. Now my girlfriend, now she's got, she can go out and run the lathe. So I'm okay with it. She understands that what things are.
That's its own mess.
Absolutely. But it is its own mess. And I do like watching YouTube videos where things in the lathe go sideways, especially when they're big metal objects. That gets kind of wild.
Dude, yeah. Those things can be pretty scary.
Exactly.
You don't know what you're doing.
So I got to ask you, what projects don't you have done around the house that are on your top five list right now that you got to get knocked out?
Currently, I'm redoing our mailbox because we got a DM from one of our temporary mailmen. He's like, fills in once in a while. And he goes, hey, I love what you did with the house. The house is beautiful, but your mailbox is so rickety and boring. You're just roasting my mailbox.
Don't change that dial. Around the House will be back with more from Dude Dad. Let's sound that.
Hey, it's Eric G from Around the House. Quick favor, if you're enjoying the show, the absolute best way you can support us is by leaving a quick review on your favorite podcast player. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever you're listening to. It literally takes 30 seconds, and here's why it matters so much to us. Those reviews help new listeners discover the podcast. Tell the algorithms we're worth recommending, and give us the feedback we need to bring you even better episodes. More of the topics you love and guests that actually move the needle for you. That helps us help you. It's as simple as that. So if the show's been useful, funny, or just made your day a little better, pop over right now, drop a star rating and a couple of sentences. We'll be genuinely grateful. Thanks for being a part of the Around the House crew, and let's keep that conversation going.
If I could dream.
Is your website losing you money instead of making it? Slow load times, outdated design, or a clunky mobile experience could be driving those customers away. At SiteHypeDesigns.com, we turn bad websites into high-performing, customer-winning machines. Our expert designers create sleek, fast, and SEO-optimized sites that don't just look good. They convert visitors into paying customers. Don't let a weak website hold you back. Visit SiteHypeDesigns.com today for a free website audit and discover how we can take your business to the next level. SiteHypeDesigns.com. Websites that work as hard as you do.
For our Around the House listeners, use promo code Eric G for a free website audit and a free half-hour consultation call.
Welcome back to the Around the House show. To find out more, head to our website at aroundthehouseonline.com. Now, let's head back into the conversation with Dude Dad.
Currently, I'm redoing our mailbox because we got a DM from one of our temporary mailmen. He's like, fills in once in a while. And he goes, hey, I love what you did with the house. The house is beautiful, but your mailbox is so rickety and boring. You're just roasting my mailbox. So I don't know.
You got to keep them happy because there is a thing called going postal. So you kind of got to keep those guys in check.
I'm trying to make sure it doesn't go postal. So what we did, I designed a new mailbox that's not only beautiful, not only has little lights above the house numbers, but when you open it, it sings the mailman song from Blue's Clues.
Oh, epic.
Yeah.
Epic.
Let's see what he has to say about that. Let's see what the next DM says.
Actually built a mailbox where we got a letter saying your mailbox is too sturdy.
Yeah, I'm hoping that's not going to happen because mine's pretty sturdy.
Yeah, so I was working at my buddy's winery and these kids kept coming by.
How do they decide that it's too sturdy? They go and like wiggle it?
I don't know, but mine was built. So I'll tell you the backstory on it first. So we had kids coming by with bats busting up mailboxes all the time on that road at his winery. And he's like, can you make a sturdy mailbox and handle it? All right, we're paid by the hour. Let's go do that. So we went out and found some well casing that was a 12-inch well casing that's like 3/8-inch thick casing. Jeez. And an I-beam, welded them together, and it was big enough to put the commercial-style mailbox in it. We welded it and put it in about half a yard of concrete in the ground. And about 4 days later, I got a text. Yeah, here's what happened. The kids went by with the aluminum bat to hit it again and hadn't noticed that they had changed. And the aluminum bat was about like a right winger's hockey stick at the end.
Geez.
And there was window glass all over the road.
Bounced off.
And there was a report that there was a kid at school that had a broken wrist and another kid that was in for a head injury because the bat came back and hit the kid in the car behind him through the window.
Wow.
Okay. And we got a thing going, hey, you guys might want to make it at least so somebody runs into this thing by accident that it doesn't kill them. And I went, hadn't engineered that part of it. So we actually went down and cut it off at the ground and then welded some plates on it with a couple bolts. So in case somebody did hit it, that it would break away. It wasn't a death trap for a driver.
Yeah, that's...
It was.
They don't even build like railings on bridges that good.
We had the materials and we were having fun and we'll overbuild it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Buddy's making a mailbox.
Pull it out, turn it into a birdhouse.
That is awesome. But that's cool. I love your mailbox idea, man. That is awesome. Your mailman's going to freak out with that one.
Yeah.
You need to put a GoPro in the back of that so you can get some video.
Yeah, that's the plan. I've got to like put some GoPros up and then just camp out all day waiting for the mailman. Even though I know he's not going to bring me anything good. It's nothing but bills.
Oh, geez. The California guys, they'll track you down for life.
Oh, yeah. They want me for the years that I didn't live there. I'm like, guys, didn't live there. Wasn't there.
And yeah. You didn't make money when you were living there. So what are they looking for?
They're looking for the money that I made when I wasn't living there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. So you've been going on tour, man. And I see it's all over my feed here because I'm in Portland, Oregon. So I see you're in Tacoma and Salem, Oregon, I see. And then going back to like Boulder, right?
Final leg of the tour. We do about 20, 22 shows a year. Me and my wife do the show together. She's got a part in it. But yeah, it's just a fun comedy show for parents to come out. It's a little bit edgier than our normal content, but pretty much the same. But we just say that because it's more geared for parents than for parents to bring their kids. So it's a good date night show.
There we go.
Yes. But it's a whole lot of fun. We've been having a blast with it. There's nothing more energizing than like delivering jokes live to a crowd. You get used to posting videos and everything just becomes reading comments and looking at numbers and this and that. But when you can actually go out on the road and see real people, it's a whole other ball game.
Man, it's got to be great on the energy side because I'm so used to doing it in front of a camera, right? And like mm-hmm. we're doing here with the radio, there's no audience that's sitting here right here. So you don't get that feedback. But now you get to go out there and do kind of the comedian dream and fill up a theater with people and have a good time and see what hits and what doesn't.
Yeah, exactly. The stuff that hits is way more fun than the stuff that doesn't hit. But if you're from Oregon or Washington, I'll let you know that we've weeded out all the stuff that doesn't hit by now. So
there you go.
Perfect. You're only going to get the good stuff.
Best of. Yes.
So yeah, no, it's a whole lot of fun. And it is interesting like how like the live audience changes, you know, everything. Like when we go back to Boulder, we're shooting the special. We're going to be taping it. And I'm going through like with the producer who's in charge of the taping. And he's like, at the end of the show, we will probably have you go back and do some of the same jokes again if we didn't get it quite right or whatever. I'm like, yeah. Oh, can we just do that like after everyone leaves or something? He's like, no, you have to do it with the audience again because your delivery will be completely different if no one's there. And I'm like, I don't know. He's like, no, you have to have the crowd. I'm like, all right, okay. So it goes to show you just how important that live audience is.
Yeah, it is. One of the secrets I've seen people do is they'll go up and they'll do two or three shows, wear the same shirt, and then just grab the best of those three sets. And I saw Janet Jackson do a video that way when I was in Tacoma. and she did her Black Cat video, and they just did the video. They did the song three times live and went, good enough, let's go.
Yeah.
And they made that work.
Yeah, so we'll be doing two in one night, which is a whole other deal to do two shows in one night.
Exhausting.
Oh, yeah, because you leave it all out there, and then you get backstage, you go, oh, we got another show in like 40 minutes. You just gotta start back up again.
So do you notice that some jokes hit differently in certain areas than parts of the country? Then is there a regional thing going on?
100%. And you never really know what the thing will be at each place. But I have my certain bits that are always bangers, right? And then some towns, it's like, oh, that one wasn't the banger here. Like, they always still do good. Some of them, you get those pops where you have to like wait and hold for the audience to settle down. And then other cities, it's not there. You're like, yeah, okay. Yeah. And then it'll be something else. When you do it enough, you start to hear the differences. And like the worst is when you come off of a really good city and then you go to like a good city. Cause the second show is a great show, but you just came off of like
just
the best audience ever. So now you're like, wait, what's wrong with you guys? Yeah. I probably just got too high expectations off of last night. Yeah.
The good news is you got comedy is big in the Pacific Northwest when you come up here. So that's good. There's a lot of good stuff that happens up here. And two, you can always make fun of homeless in 10 cities up here, and it's always a banger. So
yeah. Actually, I literally saw a bit on that this morning. Somebody making fun of Portland. Yeah.
It's easy to do. That's low hanging fruit here. We all know it. We're all used to it. So it's and 95% of it is true. So that's even the worst part of it is it's like, you're not wrong. Let's laugh about it. So
at least you guys can laugh at yourselves.
Oh, yeah. Otherwise, we'd be crying. So that's just kind of what we have to do to survive.
You guys can, but can everybody in Portland laugh at themselves? That's what I
thought. There's always that group, right? There's the Karen character out there that's the the one that always is that's way too uptight that can't laugh at anything. So
they probably shouldn't be at the comedy show to begin with.
So what other projects do you got coming on around the house? I mean, you've got those to finish, but you got any other additions, or you doing a garage addition so you have a place to put that pink wrapped Chevy truck of yours?
No, the pink wrap's probably coming off before too long. It started to peel off with the pressure washer the other day.
Shucks, darn.
I've got a couple of projects coming up this summer. The Red Bull Soapbox Race is coming to Denver. So we entered that. So hopefully going to be building a car for that. And then I also I couldn't decide what I wanted to do for the Red Bull Soapbox Race. And one of my ideas was to take an old jet ski and put wheels on it and then wrap it like a Baywatch jet ski. But then I was worried about weight and stuff because the jet ski hull already is really heavy. And I also wanted to put a motor in it afterwards. I'm like, then I'm going to have to build it twice. So then I just decided after I'd already got a jet ski off a dude for $200, I'm like, well, you know what? That'll just be another. Yeah. So now I have like a go-kart, really old crappy jet ski just hanging out in the office waiting for me to do something with them. So I'm going to turn a jet ski into a go-kart this summer as well as build a car for the Soapbox Race.
So how do you manage all those day two projects, as I call them, the jet ski body and that kind of stuff that comes in? Because as somebody with ADHD, I have a plan for that. It's not today. How do you manage that yourself? I'm looking for tips.
I don't know. You put it where you can't. You put it where you have to step over it. Then you either got to get it done or you got to get rid of it. If you tuck it away, it's going to stay there for a long time. Avoid getting the second storage unit. That's the main thing.
Cleaning out my second storage unit now because I sold my house.
You should cut down one storage unit. Yeah, we had a lot of fun building our golf cart into things last year. It was a pirate ship for Halloween, and then it was a Santa sleigh for Christmas. And it's still Santa sleigh right now because we don't know what the next thing is for it.
Nice.
Yeah.
I loved your Stranger Things Halloween thing that you did a year or two back.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun with that. The Mind Flayer.
It's been long enough that now I've forgotten. I think it's Flayer, but yeah.
It's the opposite of whatever I said in the video. I got roasted. That was my favorite because it was just this huge thing in our front yard and it was so ominous. And it only took a day to build, which, man.
Wow.
I know. It's, for me, that's a a huge win, because I normally get myself sucked into things that take 2 weeks.
Man, that show hit home with me because my dad worked for the Department of Energy and was doing CIA stuff.
Okay.
As a kid growing up next to the Hanford Nuclear Reservation where they had all those secret places.
Yeah.
I remember after my dad retired, he was always going like, hey, we always like hid things in malls. We never hid things. And so my brother and I were watching Stranger Things and we'd be texting each other going, Dad talked about this. And so it was, there was a really weird realism to that in some weird ways that being a child of the 80s, it kind of, there's a lot of things that hit home.
I mean, any show that's staged in the 80s or 90s, I feel like are so nostalgic for people our age. But me and my wife were talking about it. Like, it really was the best time to be a kid, because it's when technology got good enough that it was adding to our lives in a positive way, but it wasn't good enough yet that it was hurting our lives in a negative way.
Amen. Right?
Like, we started getting cell phones that you maybe worked in the car, or you could maybe get a hold of people easier, right? So it made things more convenient, but we weren't tied to them and now obligated to be connected with everyone like we are now, where now you just can't. Yeah, there's no getting away. You're just obligated to do so many more things, and life has to move so much faster now.
Amen. And I'm alive because of it, because there were so many stupid things I did as a kid, jumping bikes or jumping off cliffs. If we had said, hey, let's get take two, we probably would have died.
Yeah.
That would have been the thing. You know, hey, let's do that again and see if we can get a better shot. And man, things would have happened.
That's crazy. The dumb things that we did that we didn't even get footage of. We're doing it for the high of the moment.
I mean, in high school, we had these sandstone cliffs we would jump off in the dark into the Snake River. So people would drive up there with their cars and trucks. We'd be there with trucks with the lights on. And after drinking a few beers in high school, we'd go jumping off the cliff into the dark abyss into the middle of the night. And then you hoped that your feet were down, but you really couldn't tell. And then the water would sneak up on you. And I look back now and thinking my kid's doing that or something. I was just like, how did we live to tell about it? And I think it's just because we didn't have anybody trying to film it.
I got my first camcorder when I was, I think, like 11 or something to film our BMX stunts. But we didn't have any money. So me and my brother, when we would get to the end of a DV tape, we'd just rewind it and start taping again. So like, we don't have any of the early footage. I've like told my mom this and she obviously feels bad. She's like, I could have bought you a few tapes. I know. I wish. But like,
you had that
back then, you just went with whatever you had.
Oh, yeah, that would have been a good 12-year-old highlight reel.
God, I mean, it's mostly us crashing, but still would have been delightful.
So what's next for you, brother? You guys have been doing just everything. You and your wife and you got the kids growing up, which I think as the kids grow up is going to give you additional content as the kids get older, right?
Yeah, the content changes every day. We're trying to get through this special filming. Got these last couple shows on the road this weekend. Get through the special filming, and then bam, we are into summer mode. Gonna try to slow down a little bit. We got a few events. We got the Red Bull Soapbox race. We got the Potter Car Bowl, where we do like a Power Wheels race with kids in June. Then we'll have our mini golf open here in Fort Collins in September, which is an event that we've been throwing for the last 3 years. Basically, we build one mini golf hole and we get people from the community to build the other mini golf holes. And this year we're going to have 2 9-hole courses set up for one weekend at New Belgium Brewing here in Fort Collins.
Nice.
3 days, whole community comes out, $5 to golf. All the money goes to a local charity. It's just so fun.
That's awesome.
It's sort of our version of the Red Bull Soapbox race. We saw that and we're like, I love that.
Yeah.
How do we make our own version of that? And we're like, mini golf. Mini golf was fun. And like, everybody builds their holes differently. So you come and you just have no idea what to expect. But it's a blast.
I want to go up and do that thing they do in Alaska on 4th of July. Have you seen that, where they jump the cars into the...
Yeah, off the cliff.
Off the cliff. And they've got a cable set up. And I'm like, man, it would be fun to build like a van or something that you would build to take up there just to do that. Haul it all the way to Alaska, which would be its own battle. But it'd be so fun to build something up there and just be a part of that whole thing.
Anything where people are just getting together and building stuff just for the fun of it.
Yeah.
the beauty of it. Like, everyone's responsible to build their own hole and figure out what to do with it afterwards. But, you know, you're just giving people the opportunity to be a part of something and be creative just for fun.
And the charity is awesome too, because it's all going to a good place. And it's so much fun when you see that, because then all of a sudden people start going, hey, I'm going to donate too. And you get people that are going above and beyond. And those are awesome stuff too.
Yeah.
It's super good. And then, man, you guys have got to be killing it on your merch. You guys have got like the best merch of all time out there with what you're doing.
Yeah, we've got merch on there, dudedad.com, all kinds of stuff. We'll have big sales coming up for Mother's Day and Father's Day. That's always our kind of big time of the year. A couple more days construction. Got our one of my favorite ads that we've ever done, though, was for our Mama Bear collection. But it kind of built off this idea that my wife is like one of the sweetest people you ever meet. But if you mess with one of her kids, she turns into the Mama Bear.
Yeah.
So we created these ads where, like, you know, different scenarios where somebody would mess with one of the kids and she would literally turn into a grizzly bear. We've got like this really awesome grizzly bear outfit.
Nice.
Turn into a bear and maul you. It was like super like brutal and like over the top, and not everybody got it, but the people that did get it.
Did you see the bear costume that hit the news this last week? That there was, they busted a crime ring because they had a bear costume with real claws in it, and they were damaging luxury supercars for insurance scams that were,
oh my God,
booze, pothead, beer drinking, 2 o'clock in the morning plan.
It's like, hey, guys, I got it. Insurance fraud, but wait, with bears. No, not actual bears. I'm the bear. You're the bear. I know a guy. He can get us some claws. Then we can buy the supercars. That's crazy.
Yeah. And the insurance company will buy us the new supercars because then we can fix them.
Dude, that's crazy.
That's like a multiple layer YouTube channel.
I think you gotta start with a Taurus.
Yeah.
You know, like start small. I mean, if I'm the police, I'm going, why are the bears only attracted to supercars? Like, I didn't know that bears were into fast cars.
No, if in the wintertime, you've just ruined it because they're in hibernation. So how did the bear get out and ruin the supercar on December 12th?
Yeah, He didn't anywhere in a 5-mile radius of here either.
Absolutely.
Pile of bears.
Absolutely. That was a good one. That was one that I just went, are you kidding me? So
that's fantastic.
There's a new skit for you. You could do homeowners insurance scams with that. So
where did that happen at?
I was like in Florida or someplace weird. So
that fits. Do they even have bears in Florida?
That's my next question.
So, yeah. That dude.
I think they missed a few things that got them busted on that one.
Yeah, you do that up in like Montana, maybe that plays better.
Speaking of that, how much hate do you get when you do home improvement projects? That's always a battle out there.
Yeah, the trolls.
Oh my gosh.
We call them couch contractors because they're the guys that they are waiting and just watching for you to make a mistake or do something wrong. So it used to really get under my skin, even more than like somebody saying I'm not funny. I'm not your taste of vanilla. I got it. But when someone like tells me I did something wrong, that's where I would get way more like in my head, because I want to be good at it. I want to do things right. I have a background to a certain extent. I grew up all through high school and college framing houses. So I've been around it a lot, but I haven't done everything and I make mistakes just like anybody.
Once I
kind of like realize that I don't have to be an expert. I can be a DIY guy. It's almost better when you own your mistakes and say, I did that wrong. So we're pulling it apart today and doing it again. Cause that's way more relatable.
Absolutely.
Being the guy that knows exactly how to do it. At the end of the day, like what my favorite was, some dude, clearly not a longtime follower, was like, he's got people off camera doing all that. Look at his hands. He hasn't built any of this. And like, I responded the comment with a photo of my hands because they were just like, they were torn up. I had blisters all opened up all over. Like, my hands looked the worst they'd ever looked. It looked like I just shingled roofs all weekend.
Yeah.
Like, they were just brutal, but it was like a fun moment of,
they're so good for the algorithm, right?
Yeah. We don't play into that stuff too much.
No, but I mean, you don't do it to do it. I mean, there's guys out there that are doing it wrong to get the clicks.
Oh yeah.
Those people out there playing the game, you're not one of them. At the same point though, there's a thing that I call, it's TV finished.
There's like when Taylor finishes a project and there's when the project is actually done. Which it doesn't always. I mean, there's so many things in this house that are not actually, they're not done, but they're TV done.
You know what I always do, you know, from this angle, because maybe that piece of trim wasn't finished over there.
Yeah. Yeah. If you look, there's no kickboard. Oh, actually, there's a kickboard there.
There's a toe kick there.
Nice.
Oh.
Must be the other side of the island.
Or Heidi grabbed the saw. So.
Yeah, Heidi finished it.
And then you got your light up there that's tied out of the way that was probably in the way of shooting, right? No, I mean, that's how that works.
Yeah, that's all a part of it. At a certain point, you become confident enough to just embrace it and know that it's really has become a part of the brand of a couple more days construction, and which is just so much more relatable than being perfect at everything.
Absolutely. Yeah. Dude, I've literally had the manufacturer standing there when I've shot stuff. And I get the people say, you're doing it wrong. And I'm like, I had their engineering team holding pieces and handing them to me. I guarantee this was done. This part was done correctly.
There's definitely times where they've gotten it wrong and I was right. But I didn't know enough that I was like, wait, did I frame that window wrong? And I went around and around in my head and then finally find out like, they're freaking wrong. I did it right.
Exactly. You're like, that header's right size. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so, it happens. But you know, sometimes it's really informative because there's sometimes where people have caught stuff and I'm like, oh, dang, thanks, man. That's a good call. That is going to leak.
There are, especially when it gets into like weatherproofing, flashing, all that stuff. I mean, that's its own beast. And there's sometimes two or three thought processes depending which construction camp you're on. And so then you get those guys going and it's almost like, you know, those guys and girls going out. It's the Ford, Chevy, Dodge debate going, okay, come on.
Yeah. And there's two different types of right.
Yeah.
There is the right where it's going to work, it's going to be strong, and it's not going to leak. And then there's the, what does the code say? And man, I tell you what, I've had my run-in with the codes people. We're good friends now. We've spent a lot of time together. But there's certain things that they wanted me to do with the addition that I'm just like, guys, what are we doing here? All these extra anchors and stuff just so the house doesn't blow away. I'm like, it was never here before. What are we doing?
Yeah, the rest of the house is going to blow away because it's not tied down that way, but the addition is going to be golden.
I'm like, you know why it's not going to blow away?
Absolutely.
Almost that way.
I got a funny one. I showed up. This is when I was doing my Around the House Northwest television show, and the TV station held a Blazers suite night where advertisers and people got going to come in and hang out at the suite and that kind of thing. This guy comes up, introduces himself, and the first question out is, hey, Eric, what city are you building your projects in?
No.
And I'm like,
Canada.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, I live in Lake Oswego. And he goes, oh, gotcha. All of them? Every one of them. He goes, oh, lead inspector for City of Portland.
That's how I moved. We moved here during COVID, and the first thing we did was we remodeled this kitchen, and it was during COVID. So they were doing all their like
virtual stuff
inspections through FaceTime, and it was such a joke. They just be like, all right, show me the outlet, show me the switch, turn it on. Okay, all right, yeah, you're good to go. I'm like, what are we doing here? I stopped pulling permits and kept doing projects. And I got about six projects deep before I got a letter in the mail.
Yep.
And essentially, the lead inspector's daughter watches our videos and showed one to her dad. And he was like, huh, and did a little digging. He was the nicest guy, though. Like, nice. We sent a letter in the mail saying, like, that we could get fined up to $3,000 a day until this gets corrected. And I just immediately call him like, hey, man, you got me. Like, he was the nicest guy. He came. Help me get them retroactively permit. Nice. meant that I had to like get a structural engineer for a couple of things to sign off on some stuff. But structural engineers, man, they're your friend because they can write their own code. They can look at your kid's playhouse and go, hey, it's not up to code, but if you do this, this, and this, it's going to be fine. And then you can do that and you don't have to make the freaking playhouse up to code.
Dude, that is so true. If you have them on your team, it is the easiest thing because they just got to write a letter and throw a stamp on it.
Yeah.
And they go, oh, more than we do. So
yeah,
cool, we're out of here.
Yeah. And they have the ability to like look at something, you know, with their own knowledge and discernment and not just have to follow the code, which is fantastic.
Taylor, we're running out of time. Let's get people steered to you correctly to find out your channels, your website. I mean, if you're working in an office situation, they need to buy your caution tape to put around one coworker's desk that thinks they know everything.
We've got caution tape that says, I don't know what I'm doing. It's really usable in your DIY projects that your husband's working on. You can wrap that around so people don't get in his way, or you can give it to your friends that just had their first baby.
There we go.
Wrap it around the nursery, or maybe put it on the doorknob of your friends that just got married.
Oh, even better.
So many uses. But yeah, you check out our merch on dudedad.com. Other than that, you can see all of our comedy and DIY videos. Anywhere that you get videos, just look up Dude Dad.
And it's everywhere. Taylor, thanks for coming on today, making the time. I know you're busy. I know you're probably getting ready to get on some flights and head up here to the Pacific Northwest. So I appreciate everything. And thanks for taking the time, my friend.
Appreciate it, Eric. Thanks for the great conversation.
You too, brother. I'm Eric G, and you've been listening to Around the House. Hey, it's Eric G with Around the House. Are you looking to grow your business? Need a spokesperson for your company? Maybe an MC for an upcoming trade show? Or maybe you want to up your game and shoot some promotional videos? My team of experts would love to chat with you. Head to aroundthehouseonline.com and fill out the contact us form, and we'll set something up. Thanks for listening to Around the House.